Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
I will not be diminished by choosing sides in some human argument. I am that I am. I did not come to take a side, Joshua. I came to take over.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern-day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's infusion of the truth.
He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. Oh, He might not come when you want Him, but He'll be there right on time, 'cause He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. Amen, truth seekers. Welcome on board. This train is getting ready to pull out of the station, and I'm excited to be with you. Welcome to Truth Infusion. This is the radio ministry of Truth Infusion Ministries, the radio aspect of what God has called us to do. And I am honored and privileged, and I don't say that lightly, I am honored and privileged to be able to speak to you today. As we speak today, let me brag on God for just a minute, and then we'll get into this continuation of this study today. As we speak today, I didn't go back and look at this, and I don't look at it enough to just keep it in my memory, but I believe Truth Infusion Radio now operates in radio stations in, I believe, 10 states. 10 states, I think that's true. I believe we are on either 13 or 15 radio stations at this point. With a potential listening audience, knowing that everybody under the broadcast area of these stations doesn't listen to the same radio station at the same time every day. But with a potential listening audience of 6 million people, let me tell you something right now. That is God. I take no credit. Truth seekers, I don't even know nothing about radio. Okay? I ain't kidding when I say that. I don't understand the radio business. I'm not some kind of radio extraordinaire. I don't have any history here. I've been doing this for about a year and a half. It began with a radio station calling me and saying, David, would you be willing to do a radio show? And I said, no. That's just the truth. I said, no, I'm sorry. I don't know anything about that. I don't think I have the time to accomplish that. I don't even know how to do it. I said, no. I was riding in my car when that call came in. About 10 miles after I said no, the Lord was just really convicting me, and I called back and to the same station. I said, "Look, I don't know how to do it. I don't know what it entails, but I'll do it." And I said, "Will you just give me a month to figure it out?" And they said, "Sure." And so that was the first station. I started there within about a month, a station out of Texarkana, Texas, and I've not sought out stations. God has always opened the door for what He wanted. And here we are about a year and a half later, like I said, in 10 states, 13 stations, maybe it's 15, I'm not sure, and it's all God. So here I sit here inside the studios that God provided, speaking into equipment that He provided, giving a word that He provided. This is not about me. It's not about Truth Infusion Ministries. This is God. So if you are listening to this today, I want you to know something. This is a divine appointment. It's not accidental. Whether you are regular to this radio show, or this radio station, or whether you just flipped over, I want you to hear something. It's not an accident. Don't turn the dial. God has called you to this, and there's something He wants for you today. And it's not because I'm here talking. Lord knows I don't do much well. I mess up more than I do well. But God has something for you today. Heavenly Father, whatever you want, that's what we want. Whatever you desire, that's what we desire. Lord God, don't let me stand in the way of you reaching your people. Heavenly Father, have your way. Do what you want, what you see fit. Your will be done, your agenda, your work. God, I'm just thankful that I can be in the room and be a part of it. So touch your people with your word. If you can use me, Lord, use me. If you can't use me, then do it in spite of me. I ask in your name, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise the Lord for Truth Infusion Radio. And I mean that. The last 2 weeks, this is the third week in a series that God has put on my heart to share with you, a series that I've entitled No Shoes Allowed. No Shoes Allowed. First week was very introductory. Began to show you that as I was reading in the book of Ruth, I came across a verse in Ruth chapter 4, verse 7, that kind of caught me off guard. I wasn't expecting it. And it dealt with a sandal. Dealt with footwear. Basically, in order to see a legal transaction become official, one man would take off his sandal and give it to the other. That's how they recognize that this is officially done. You and I might shake on it. We may even draw up a contract and sign it. We may have a judge pass a verdict or a decree that something would be so. And that day, one man would transfer his rights to another, and they would do that and make it official, make it public, by exchanging a sandal. That's what they did in the last chapter of the book of Ruth. Then I saw where that actually was referenced in Deuteronomy, so I go and look in Deuteronomy and found out it wasn't just a strange custom that the people had, even though it was a custom in that day. It was actually in the law. God had given Moses that in the law. Then we took the time to begin to recognize that the first time this sandal thing happened, first time sandals were highlighted in the Bible, to my knowledge, took place in Exodus chapter 3 with Moses. And it was at the burning bush before God began to reveal to Moses this major plan and all the things that Moses would do in Egypt for Israel. The first thing he said was, take your sandals off, you're on holy ground. Before he said, I am that I am, before he showed him the staff would turn into a snake or the leprous hand or gave him his commands, he said, take your sandals off. Take your sandals off. And the point I was wanting you to begin to see as we begin to see Scripture unfold is the point of the sandals coming off was that it represented one man relinquishing his rights to another man. God-given, law-given rights, given over, given away to another man. Moses experienced it at the burning bush, but Moses, I don't think, understood it at the burning bush because God didn't say, Moses, before you do that, let me explain why I want you to take your sandals off. He didn't give him explanation. He just said, do it. And that's what I said last week. If you're standing in front of a burning bush, if you got the guts to stand in front of a burning bush that is talking to you and knows your name, and it tells you to do something, okay, you're either going to run the other direction when the bush starts talking, or you are going to do what the bush says. Moses stayed. Moses obeyed and took his sandals off. Then time goes by, and Moses is the author of the book of Deuteronomy, and when it gets to Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 7 through about 10, God unfolds this sandal thing in his law, and I bet Moses was like, oh, now I understand why you told me to do that before. It was confirming that I was saying, your will be done. I will take off my sandals for you. I will relinquish my rights for you. Moses didn't understand it at the burning bush, but Moses wrote it down in the law. But the man that took Moses' place when Moses stepped down as a leader of the Hebrew people was Joshua. Now, Joshua took leadership after Moses had written Deuteronomy, and so Joshua knew the law, and Joshua knew what the sandal thing was all about. And I began to introduce the fact that the first major act that Joshua and the children of Abraham did in the promised land was they had to take on the invincible city of Jericho. And the Jericho walls represented something that Joshua could not accomplish on his own. The children of Israel could not accomplish on their own. And I left you last week with this thought. You and I both have Jericho walls in our life. Those things that we need to see come down, to see fall before us. But you and I don't have the ability to take down those walls. Oh, we can bang on them and peck on them and beat on them all we want. But the Jericho walls were, they stretched to the sky. And there were some 20 foot wide sitting around the city on top of a hill. Look, the part-time army of Israel under the command of Joshua had no ability to confront this wall. It was the most well-protected city in the world of that time, which means the greatest army in the world of that time could not have taken Jericho down. And so here's Joshua, commanded by God to take over the promised land. And Joshua himself is staring at the Jericho walls, wondering, what in the world do I do about this? What do I tell my military leaders? What battle plan do I come up with? We don't have any tanks. We ain't got no bazookas. I can knock on the door. I don't think they're going to let me in to talk about surrender. What do I do? And that's where we come to Joshua 5 in verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked. And behold, a man stood opposite him with a sword drawn in his hand. Joshua is scouting out the city of Jericho. He's pacing back and forth. I'm sure he is stressed. He is probably half praying and half mumbling to himself. I can't imagine the stress this man was under or the burden or the load he was carrying. And he's pacing and he's walking and he turns, and the Bible says, without notice, suddenly, behold, he looks up and there is a man standing in front of him, a warrior, battle ready, armor, sword drawn, posed to cut Joshua's head off. That's really what the scripture's pointing out right there. And Joshua is just shocked out of his boots that all of a sudden he's confronted by this warrior. Many scholars believe that this experience Joshua's having is what's called a Christophany. Okay, what is that? Anytime before Jesus was born in Bethlehem, any time before that, Old Testament, that Christ appears in the flesh, that Christ shows up on the scene, it's called a Christophany. Many scholars believe this was Jesus standing before Joshua. Some say, no, it's not Jesus. It is a mighty warrior angel. Okay, whether it's Jesus or whether it's an angel or whether it's neither, here's all Joshua knew. There's a dude standing up here with a sword ready to bring it down on my throat. Now, I don't know what I would have done in that moment. I don't know what you would have done in that moment. I can tell you this. I don't know that I would have been able to speak. If I did make any kind of utterance, I probably would have screamed like an elementary schoolgirl. Okay? But Joshua's the man. Joshua has some kind of fortitude that I obviously don't have, because not only did he not run or scream or whatever, he speaks, he asks a question, and in my opinion, it's probably the best question he possibly could have asked. Listen to what Joshua says. He turns around, warriors there, swords drawn. Joshua knows this warrior's next decision is my life or death. To us, we don't understand warriors with swords in this day and age, or I don't. You know, we don't see that in America. What? Here's what Joshua, it would have been like in our days if we would have turned and there would have been a Navy SEAL standing there with a gun cocked and loaded and pointed at our forehead. Okay? Now you're in the right frame of mind. This is what Joshua is seeing. I don't know what I would have done. Joshua, though, asked a question, an unbelievably perfect question, probably the best possible question for that moment. The Bible says, "And Joshua said to him, 'Are you for us or are you for our enemies?'" Okay, right on. Because this is a simple question, two possible answers. The answer that this guy gives, Joshua has all the information he needs to know as to whether he is going to live for the next few minutes or he's about to die. Are you for us? Are you for our enemies? Are you going to kill me or are you going to help me? Which is why I imagine Joshua's face probably got very confused when the warrior answers him. Because Joshua's question has two possible answers. You either say, "I'm for you," or "I'm for them," right? Well, that's not what Joshua gets in return. Joshua says, "Are you for us? Are you for our enemies?" And he says, "No." Okay, that ain't even a choice here, Mr. Warrior friend. You have to say, "I'm for you, I'm for them, I'm against you, I'm for you," something like that. No is not an option. But that's the answer Joshua gets. The warrior says no. "But as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." You see, truth seekers, I believe this is Jesus Christ, Christophany. He is here. He is the captain of the host of heaven, and he is in no uncertain terms letting Joshua know, "I will not be diminished by choosing sides in some human argument. I am that I am. I did not come to take a side, Joshua. I came to take over." And the Bible says Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" And I tell you why I think this is Jesus, because when Joshua fell down and worshiped and said, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" any other time in the Bible that a human did that to an angel, the angel said, "Get up, fool, don't worship me, worship him." See, an angel will not receive God's glory. And the angel did not redirect his worship. The angel received his worship, which says to me emphatically, this is Jesus Christ. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" Let me tell you something, guys. When you are confronted with God Almighty, when Jesus interrupts your life, when you have a sovereign interruption, oh, you're clipping along just right in your life. You're going at the way you want to go at it. You're doing it your way. You think you got it figured out. Maybe you're rocking and rolling, doing good things, ministry work. You're busy for the Lord. And then God interrupts you. I don't know if any of you have ever experienced God interrupting you. I'm sure you have. I know I have. Most of the time, God knocks on the heart of my life and says, "Hey, you knucklehead, I'm over here." Because if you're like me, you can get misdirected quickly. But any time you experience divine interruption, there is one correct response when you are confronted with the captain of the host of heaven, when you are confronted with the great I Am. You don't question, you don't comment, you don't form a church committee. You fall on your face. And you do as you are told. See, once again, Joshua asked the best possible question for this moment. When he says, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" Then the commander of the Lord's army, verse 15, then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so. Take your sandal off your foot. See, this time, just exactly the way God had told Moses to write in Deuteronomy, Joshua was told, take off your sandal. And like I mentioned before, Moses didn't understand at the burning bush experience what take your sandals off meant. God had not explained himself with that at that point. But Joshua knew. He knew exactly what it meant because Moses had written it in Deuteronomy. It had become a custom in Israel. God was demanding, Joshua, relinquish your rights to me. Relinquish your rights. Give them over to the captain of the host. Give them to Jesus. You see, no longer was Joshua the commander of the army after he had taken off his sandal because he had relinquished his rights to Christ. No longer was he the judge and the counselor that had to figure out how to fix all the problems and decide between disputes. And no longer was he the leader and the guide of Israel. The captain of the host was now on the scene. Praise God. And Joshua was... he was just fine with giving up all his rights and handing them over to God. Joshua did not know what to do with Jericho. Jesus did. Joshua did not know how to come up with a battle plan. Jesus did. Jesus showed up and he said, I will not choose sides. I've come to take over. Joshua, whose side are you on? Joshua fell to his face to worship, confirming, I'm on your side. And what do we do now, Christ? What do we do now? The first thing you're going to do is take your sandal off. Relinquish your rights to me. Hand over your rights to Christ. Give control to the captain of the host. My message through this teaching, let me say that differently. God's message through this teaching is very simple. You may be saved. You may be spirit-filled. You may be serving in a church. You may be the leader of your home. Well, so is Joshua. Joshua was all those things. But if you have not relinquished your rights, truth seeker, have you privately and publicly even given full control over to the captain of the host? See, if you're waiting for him to join your team, just like Joshua saying, are you for us or are you against us? If you're waiting for him to join your team, you're out of luck. I'm out of luck. He's not joining our agenda. He is not joining with our work. He did not come to take sides. He came to take over. And I think his word is simple. Here's what the message of the sandals is all about. No shoes allowed. It's taken me 3 weeks to get to this place to say this. No shoes allowed. Relinquish your rights to God. Fully turn over. Voluntarily give up and give it to Jesus. No shoes allowed. Let me say it this way. I believe God is saying, if you want to move forward in me, no shoes allowed. If you ever want to be part of some supernatural movement, no shoes allowed. If you want understanding, if you want to understand the depths of my heart, no shoes allowed. Truth seeker, if you are ready to get off the surface of your Christian experience and become a more than conquering, abundant life living, devil chasing, miracle working, spiritual powerhouse, well, glory to God. But no shoes allowed. However, and I'm going to touch somebody. This may be a raw nerve we touch right here. I tread a little close to your corn, plow a little close to the corn of your life. However, if you are satisfied with the status quo, if you're okay with the way it is, if you look at your Christian walk and you think, son, I have arrived. I got it figured out. I'm on top of the hill. Let me say it a different way. If you're okay with the idea that the best you'll ever have it is the best that religious man can produce. Are you hearing that? If all you're looking for is to be simply saved and to spend the rest of your days sucking on a bottle of spiritual milk, then by all means, keep the focus on yourself. Keep the shoes to yourself. Keep your shoes on. But if you want more, if you want to see Jericho walls fall, first things first, no shoes allowed. Let me Let me let you in on a little secret. Let me take this as a little side note. You know, there's a four-letter word that God detests. It turns his stomach quicker than any curse word that you and I might know. And believe me, in America, in the church, really this word is greatly praised and esteemed, but to God, it makes him sick. Because this word to him represents the walls, the Jericho walls that stand between himself and most Christians. And here's the word. I'm going to spell it for you. S-E-L-F. Self. Self. Here's what I mean. You'll never hear God say things like self-improvement, self-esteem, self-worth, self-motivated, self-conscious, self-actualized, or self-expression. As the church, we got to stop telling people the wrong thing. We need to tell people that God is not interested in your self-image, self-control, self-help, self-assurance, self-restraint, self-righteousness, self-awareness, or whether or not you are self-monitoring. The bottom line is that it just doesn't impress God if you are self-appointed, self-proclaimed, self-serving, self-taught, self-reliant, self-made, or have any level of self-sacrifice to offer. The only self-word that God Almighty is okay with, the only one He will tolerate, is selflessness. You see, no shoes allowed means we get rid of self. Child of God, man of God, woman of God, give up your rights. Realize, you can't do it. We're not good enough. We're not strong enough. We're not smart enough. We're not wise enough. No shoes allowed means we give up and give complete control to God. Are you willing to go barefoot before the Lord? Have you? Are you still wearing your shoes? Maybe it's time for you to relinquish rights. No shoes allowed. I'm not finished with this teaching. You come back next week, we're going to dig deeper. Until then, you keep seeking the truth.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.